Best Deck Building Card Games 2026. Dominion, Eon's End, Marvel Champions, Kenji here. One clean decision at a time, and the whole table becomes easier. Dominion remains the gold standard for competitive deck building. Eon's End pioneers cooperative play with its revolutionary no-shuffle mechanic, and Marvel Champions brings LCG depth to the genre. Your choice depends on whether you want pure strategy, narrative cooperation, or expansive IP immersion. The deck-building genre was born in 2008 when Donald X. Vaccarino released Dominion, a game that asked a radical question. What if building your deck was the game? Before that moment, decks were something you assembled at home, scrutinized, optimized in the abstract. Dominion made it live. Each turn, you buy cards from a shared market, adding them to your growing arsenal. 18 years later, the genre has fractured into four distinct schools: Competitive Engines, Dominion, Star Realms, Cooperative Struggles, Eon's End, Legendary, Campaign Journeys, Hogwarts Battle, and Living Card Games, Marvel Champions. This guide walks you through the anchors. Each represents a different temperature of the same fire. Whether you're hunting for the platonic ideal of deck building, the crystalline elegance of its first expression, or something stranger and more experimental, the market has matured. You can now build decks together, compete silently, watch a nemesis scale its threats, or construct a living collection that evolves across months of play. The craft has deepened without losing its spark. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What actually makes a game deck building? Strip away the theme and every deck builder runs the same engine. Draw a small hand, spend it for currency, buy stronger cards into a discard pile, then reshuffle that pile into your next deck. You aren't preparing at home, you're building mid-flight, watching your arsenal mutate with every purchase. What the genre understood in 2008, and what newcomers usually miss, is that every card has two costs and two payoffs. It does something the turn you play it, and it permanently changes the probability of every future hand. This is the secret the best players internalize. A deck builder is a probability machine you are sculpting in real time. Buy a card that's only situationally useful and you've diluted your draws forever. That's why the most counterintuitive skill in the genre is trashing, voluntarily removing weak cards so your good ones surface more often. Beginners hoard, experts thin. A 12-card deck of all bombs beats a 30-card deck padded with starter junk every time. The other quiet truth: the shared market is itself a resource. In competitive deck builders, denying an opponent a key card by buying out its pile can matter as much as what you keep. Watch a strong table and you'll see players tracking not just their own engine, but the supply's dwindling stacks. The endgame often hinges on who empties piles first, not who scores prettiest. Why is Dominion still the genre's gold standard? Dominion is deck-building stripped to bone. Donald X. Vaccarino abandoned a fantasy combat system he'd been wrestling with and spent the next stretch perfecting the assembly mechanic itself. The result won the 2009 Spiel des Jahres, Germany's Game of the Year, and the German Game Prize the same year, then spawned more than a dozen expansions. 18 years on, nothing has bettered its core loop. The depth hides in the randomized kingdom, 10 card types pulled from a far larger pool each game, so the metagame resets every session. Here's the insider divide that defines skilled play, big money versus the engine. It's a real baseline and beats the buy-anything-shiny beginner, but a well-built engine, one that draws and plays your entire deck in a single megaturn, sprints past it. The whole craft is recognizing which the kingdom rewards. The other lever is trashing. Chapel, trash up to 4 cards in one play, is widely called the strongest card in the game precisely because it lets you delete your 7 starting coppers and 3 estates fast, leaving a lean machine. The second edition base set, 2016, swapped 6 weaker kingdom cards for 7 sharper ones and cleaned up the layout, making the on-ramp gentler without dulling the ceiling. Note that 2016 revision is still the current canonical base set. There's no newer base set edition, later releases like the Rising Sun expansion are add-ons, not a fresh core box. How does Eon's End's no-shuffle rule rewrite everything? Eon's End inverts Dominion. You cooperate against a scripted nemesis that scales with player count, but its real revolution is structural. You never shuffle your deck. When it empties, you flip your discard pile straight over and draw it in the exact order it landed. That one rule change rewires the genre. Suddenly, randomness stops being an excuse. The order your cards return is the order you discarded them, and the rules let you choose that order as you discard. You may look through your discard at any time, but you may not rearrange it once placed. So the master move is conscious stacking. Bury a card you won't need for 3 turns, float the gem you'll want next turn on top. Skilled players are effectively programming their future hands. The catch that newcomers fumble is that this is a one-way decision, discard sloppily, and you've guaranteed a dead hand 4 turns out, with no shuffle to bail you. 2 more wrinkles reward planning. Breach's mean spells are prepared 1 turn and cast the next, so you're always thinking a beat ahead. And turn order is drawn from a shuffled turn order deck, the only shuffling in the whole game, so you can't assume you'll act before the nemesis strikes. That uncertainty is the engine of its tension. The franchise sells fully standalone boxes, The New Age, 2019, and Outcasts, 2020, each play start to finish alone, so you can enter anywhere rather than chasing a base set. Is Marvel Champions really deck building, and how do aspects work? Honest answer. Marvel Champions is a living card game, not a drawn-by deck builder. You build your deck at home from a fixed, collectible pool, then play it. But the construction craft sits right next to the genre, and the hero versus villain asymmetry gives it cooperative bite that pure deck builders lack. The core set ships 5 heroes: Iron Man, Spider-Man, She-Hulk, Black Panther, and Captain Marvel, and supports 1 to 4 players against a scaling villain. The insider key is the aspect system. Every hero deck pairs a signature identity with one of 4 aspects that flavor your toolbox. Leadership, allies, and buffs, widely rated the strongest in the core box, because allies soak hits and chip damage for free, justice, threat control, vital, because if the villain's scheme advances unchecked, you simply lose. Aggression, raw damage, and protection, damage mitigation and counterattacks. The deck-building tension is real. Lean too hard into smashing the villain, and the scheme clock runs you over. Overinvest in thwarting, and you never land the killing blows. A practical rule from the community: leadership decks want roughly 8 to 12 allies and fewer events. Protection prefers upgrades and supports. The living model is the genuine catch. The base box is a complete game, but the design assumes you'll buy into monthly hero packs to widen your options. Budget for the hobby, not just the box. What makes Clank? Snoy's bag such an elegant trap? Clank welds deck building to a press-your-luck dungeon crawl, and the bag of wooden cubes is the whole genius. You're a thief descending into a dragon's lair. Every aggressive card, every fight, every risky move drops your colored cubes, your Clank, into a shared bag. When the dragon attacks, cubes are drawn blind from that bag, and whoever's color comes up takes the hit. The deeper and greedier you play, the more of your cubes are loaded into the gun pointed at you. That converts deck building from a pure optimization puzzle into a question of timing. You can't just buy the best cards, you have to decide when to spend the loud ones. The standard expert tension is rush versus greed. Dive deep for the high-value artifacts and you bleed Clank the whole way, or grab a cheap artifact near the entrance and sprint for daylight before the dragon's rage escalates. There's no single right line. The board is revealed card by card and changes every game, so the map itself is part of the gamble. The community consensus that trips up newcomers: you must escape the dungeon to score at all. Players who overloot and get caught below ground bank 0 points regardless of their haul. Streamlining matters too. Buy cards that generate movement and buying power, prune the dead weight, and remember that a quiet, efficient deck is often worth more than a flashy loud one. Clank Legacy extends the same engine across a 40-game campaign for tables that want their thefts to leave permanent scars. competitive, or cooperative, which temperature fits your table. This is the first fork, and it changes the emotional weather more than the rules. Competitive deck builders, Dominion, Star Realms, are silent duels. The market is shared, but your deck is yours, built to outpace someone sitting 3 feet away. Watching an opponent's engine fire, drawing their entire deck in one turn, is simultaneously awe-inspiring and quietly devastating. The pleasure is adversarial precision. The risk is that a runaway leader can feel unstoppable while you're still shuffling copper. In cooperative games, Ian's End, Marvel Champions, you face the game itself, and the tenor shifts to camaraderie. The table rallies, groans, and improvises together in a desperate final round. The well-known hazard is quarterbacking, one strong player calculating everyone's optimal move and flattening the others into pilots. The tighter the puzzle, the faster this creeps in. Ian's End's no-shuffle determinism makes correct play visible, which is exactly why the design also hides information behind variable turn order to keep every brain engaged. A third register has matured between them. Semi-cooperative games like Legendary let everyone win or lose together against a mastermind, while a private score crowns who played best, togetherness with a sting in the tail. And campaign deck building, Clank. Legacy, Hogwarts Battle, carries cards, scars, and story across 7 to 40 linked sessions, turning the genre into serialized fiction. Pick the temperature first. The title almost chooses itself after. Where do Star Realms and Legendary fit? The fast duel and the team builder. These two anchor the genre's outer edges. Its engine is the faction ally system. Four colors, blobs, aggression, and card draw, Star Empires forced discards, machine cults scrapping and bases, Trade Federation's life gain economy. Where playing two cards of the same color the same turn unlocks bonus ally abilities. The insider line is that triggering ally abilities is the single biggest source of card advantage. A card with its ally fired is roughly twice the card, so committing to two factions and chaining their bonuses beats hoarding a rainbow of singletons. The other expert habit, aggressively scrap your starting scouts and vipers to thin toward your power cards. At the opposite pole, Legendary, a Marvel deck-building game is the sprawling team builder. You play SH, that is, LD. Agents recruiting an Avengers roster from a shared HQ to take down a mastermind whose scheme advances on every scheme twist. It's twin currencies, recruit, to draw heroes into your deck, and attack, to fight the villains stacking up in the city, must be balanced inside one deck, and the genuine thrill is that assembling a coherent six-hero squad feels like building the Avengers. The original base box is generous. Its packaging advertises over 550 cards, though hobby card lists count it at right around 500. The 2026 second edition is the one that ships a full 550. Either way, it's a deep box, but the turn structure carries real overhead, and with full cooperative scoring, quarterbacking risk runs high. It rewards a table that wants theme thick and content deep over one that wants a tight 20-minute hit. Expansions and the long game, variability or closure. The last decision is about how much room you're leaving on the shelf and in the budget. Every deck builder grows, but they grow on opposite philosophies, and matching that to your temperament saves money and regret. On the infinite variability end sits Dominion. Its expansions are modular. Each adds a fresh batch of kingdom cards you mix into the randomizer, generating new metagames indefinitely. Yet the base game stands complete forever. You're never required to buy in, you're invited to. Star Realms behaves similarly, feature complete at two players with optional sets if the duel grabs you. In the middle, Ian's End and Clank respect a budget. Ian's End sells fully standalone boxes rather than dependent add-ons, so expanding means choosing a new self-contained experience, not feeding a single base. Clank is one box plus optional variants with Clank Legacy as a deliberate, finite 40-game arc that ends when its story does. On the ongoing ecosystem end is Marvel Champions, the only true living card game here. Its design assumes a steady drip of hero packs, The base box is real and playable, but full strategic depth lies across the release schedule. The question to ask before you buy isn't which is best. It's do you want design closure or an open horizon? A collector who loves a deepening pool should lean into the LCG. A player who wants a finished object on the shelf should lean toward Dominion or a standalone Eon's End box. Both answers are correct. They're just different relationships with the same beautiful machine. Final verdict. Dominion remains the lighthouse of deck building, the game that illuminated the genre and still stands unmatched for elegant simplicity. But 2026's landscape is richer. If you want purity, buy Dominion. If you want innovation, Eon's End's no-shuffle mechanic opens a different door. If you want story weight and IP integration, Marvel Champions or Legendary. If you want spatial tension, Clank. If you want something fast and cheap, Star Realms. The genre has matured from one perfect game into four distinct schools. Each represents a different temperature of the same fire. The choice is not which is best, it's which calls to you. All of them, played well, will show you something true about strategy, cooperation, and the strange beauty of building something from nothing. Start with Dominion if you've never played deck building. Start with Eon's End if you want mechanical innovation. Start with Marvel Champions if IP matters to you. Start with Clank if you want thematic adventure. None of these choices is wrong. They're just different paths through the same forest, each revealing its own view. Still deciding? Take the Game Finder, answer 7 quick questions, and the cabinet hands you the one board game built for your table with a buy link and your own shareable player talisman. Frequently asked questions. What's the difference between deck building and a traditional card game? In traditional card games, you build your deck before play and bring it unchanged. In deck building, your deck evolves during the game. You start weak, buy cards from a shared market, and assemble them into a personal arsenal. Every purchase shapes your future draws, its construction as gameplay. Is Dominion still worth buying in 2026? Absolutely. The second edition, 2024, refined presentation and rebalanced kingdom cards. The core mechanic remains unmatched for elegant simplicity and replayability. If you want the pure deck-building experience, Dominion is still the gold standard. Which game is best for casual players? Dominion is most forgiving. It teaches itself intuitively. Clank adds spatial flavor that appeals to non-hardcore gamers. Avoid Eon's End if you're playing casually. Its planning requirements punish relaxed play. Can I play deck-building games solo? Yes. Eon's End, Marvel Champions, and Legendary all support one player against a scaling nemesis mastermind. Star Realms has solo modes. Dominion is competitive only, if solo play matters. Eon's End is best. It was designed for it. Do expansions matter for these games? Dominion. No, the base game is complete. Expansions add optional variety. Eon's End. Optional. The base game stands alone. Marvel Champions. Yes, monthly releases are expected. The game is designed as a living ecosystem. Clank. No, but Clank. Legacy campaigns across 40 games. Star Realms. Optional. What's the difference between LCG and traditional deck building? LCGs, living card games, release new cards monthly in predictable packs. You build decks at home before play, then compete cooperate with those fixed decks. Traditional deck building, Dominion, Eon's End, builds decks during play from a shared market. Marvel Champions is an LCG, Dominion is traditional deck building. Which game has the highest skill ceiling? Eon's End. The no-shuffle mechanic creates a puzzle where every card purchase ripples into the future. Dominion has deep strategy, but Eon's End rewards planning 10+ turns ahead. Star Realms is tightest mechanically. Clank balances luck and skill.